Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I also want to read the last part of Hebrews 9, verse 22. And without shedding of blood is no remission. We know that blood is the very life of human beings made in God's image. However, because we are linked with original sin through Adam and Eve, our blood is tainted and our punishment is death. But Christ's sinless, perfect, eternal blood has been shed for this punishment, the punishment for sin, and brought salvation to the whole world. So today we want to celebrate communion, a tribute to Jesus Christ, a love story of God the Father forgiving his only begotten Son, so that all creation is able to have opportunity to be rid of eternal death. You know, the universality of death proves the universality of sin. Universality, the complete. Everyone dies, showing us that everyone too has sinned. And we know that scripture underscores that. Romans 3:23 talks about that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hebrews 9:27 talks about it is appointed unto all men once to die. And we also witness it ourselves. We see it happening every day. So as we look at communion, we see the love of God, the grace and faithfulness of God, the just for the unjust, culminating in peace of heart and mind. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And so now we want to start off with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for never forget about his people, a God that has prepared for his people a salvation while we were yet sinners, your enemies. Lord God, as we read and think about your word, help us to see how involved you have made yourself so that there could be redemption for us, even though we of ourselves had not deserved it. Lord God, as we remind ourselves of the example that you have been to us, an example through which alone life can survive, may it inspire us to be true to you and true to one another. Lord God, we thank you for this morning, this opportunity to gather ourselves in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is willing to suffer and die for our sins, a weakness that we ourselves were not able to cover. Lord God, we thank you for each one that has come and the prayers that each have contributed to this service. And may each one be blessed as we remind ourselves of your goodness, and may it encourage us to be stronger in the faith that reaches to you alone. And Lord God, as we remind ourselves of your gift to us, Lord, may it bring you honor, and may it glorify your name that is above all names, and in turn, bless us ourselves as well. Lord God, we give this morning into your hands. May you lead, teach, and bless. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll start off with a song.
So all the songs this morning will be out of the Blue Book. We'll start with 119. Did you think to pray? 119.
Thank you for that song. Praying is so important. You know, as we look at the love story of God, we know that it has made provision that sin can be defeated, that sin can be overcome. However, we also read in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 to 31. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 to 31. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, when believers partake of the elements of communion. And we're talking about the bread and the cup. They shew or proclaim the Lord's death till he, Jesus, will come again, when he will take up all believers with him in the air, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. When we come in an unworthy manner, however, we come in a spirit of disunity or division, obstructing the proclamation of the Lord's death. And so God's word is very clear that before we come to this meal, that we examine ourselves, not others, but ourselves. To examine means to test or to prove oneself. Are we right with God and with one another? And for us to get to that right, true answer, we will also need to be honest with ourselves. And so for text, to maybe underscore all of this, I've decided to read from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is a man who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And why did he slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You know, as we contemplate and study these verses, they will help us to examine ourselves and see where it is that we are in our life. Verse 1 we read, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The word behold means to consider or understand or think about. You know, we are to think about or we are to consider the love that God the Father has bestowed upon us. We are to think about the kind of love with which God the Father has redeemed us. To do this, we know that, first of all, we will need to know God, and which is able to come through Bible reading, meditating the same, also prayer, and might I add, even more reading. So why is it important to consider the love of God? You know, it's like counting our blessings. It is then that we know what we all have. And when we consider the love of God, we will see that God's love is a gift, that it is not something that we or anyone else was able to fabricate or to produce. And as we will consider this love, it will encourage and it will help to bring us stability. And it will do this because it will help us know what we have and also know what can and needs to be corrected. And this will encourage and bring stability because God's love was not given to condemn, but to save, as we read in John chapter 3, verse 17. But again, we have to tell ourselves, we need to know who God is. We need to read the Bible and study it. Also, God's love is totally righteous, and it will not always parallel the righteousness of mankind. Why? Because God's righteousness is the just for the unjust. You know, when we look at the love of God, it really isn't fair. But we got it. God is willing to give it. You know, God's righteousness is always about making reconciliation, making right. God's righteousness is about forgiving. You know, God's love knows no partiality. Easy to say or preach, but quite another to follow. And I'm sure we all know that. We also know that God's love is not publicity driven. It's whether majority or not, it is exactly as Scripture tells us. Also, God's love originated with God Himself. And the only way for it to encompass all of God's faithfulness, and that throughout all time, is for it not to become contaminated. It cannot change. We know that God's love is flawless, absolutely personal. No one needs to fall between the cracks, and neither is anyone able to stop another from experiencing God's love. And then going on in verses 2 and 3, as children of God, knowing that when Jesus will come again, and we shall be like him, and we that have this hope, we read that we then will also purify ourselves just as Jesus is pure. It will be a continuing work, the act called the act of sanctification, or the growing and maturing in the Lord. And it's a work that is ongoing as the Lord gives us the ability. You know, it's not the same from one person to the next. We know that Scripture tells us that each of us have been given gifts. In John chapter 18, verse 10, we read of Peter cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant, whose name was Malchus. And upon which Jesus says to Peter, "Put your sword away. Put it into, we might say, the bag or the container that it was in." And then Jesus asked the question, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" And so we too also need to ask ourselves, what is it going to be? Is it going to be the sword, or is it the cup? Will it be my will, or will it be God's will? Will it be my plan for my life? Or will it be the plan that God has for my life? Will I resist God's will? Or will I submit? Will take from us our time. It's going to involve sacrifice and quite possibly even suffering. We can expect schedules and circumstances that will not always go as planned. Or we can expect work orders that will challenge us, like Jonah not wanting to go to Nineveh. The people that he dreaded, or the people that he disliked, or us being asked to take on some position, maybe in church, maybe some other good initiative. Or even as continuing to avail ourselves to God through reading scripture and prayer, growing our relationship with God, where God is able to prepare us for that next step. You know, these are all things that require a decision from us people, from God's people. This is all about examining ourselves. Will it be the sword or will it be the cup? You know, we all want Jesus to be our Savior, but are we also allowing Jesus, or are we also asking Jesus to be our Lord, our leader, our wisdom? In verse 4, we read that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You know, when we practice sin, we are practicing lawlessness. In Romans 14, verse 23, we read, for whatsoever is sin, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. James 4, verse 17 reads, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And as we read in verse 4, sin is a transgression. It has been revealed as one who is able to clean up sin. Through Jesus, we never need to feel that we are locked in. 1 John 1, verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, through Jesus, we can always go forward. In the following verses, we read that if we will abide in the Lord, we will not voluntarily or purposely live in sin. In Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah talks about how his faithfulness and his work for the Lord are bringing him mockery and persecution or hard times. But then Jeremiah writes in verse 9, that's Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of God, nor speak any more in his name. And then after which Jeremiah writes, and then after which Jeremiah follows up with the result of that decision. And then he writes this, and he says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary in forbearing. Meaning that it was hard. You know, preaching the word was hard, but being quiet was hard as well. In fact, it was so hard that it was better for him to go back to preaching the word than to try and keep it quiet. So for him to neglect God's plan for him was not the answer either. It was still better to be faithful. But these verses also tell us that if we are purposely living in sin, and there is no desire to be faithful to God, and that because Jesus has come into the world to destroy the works of the devil, giving us no reason to not be able to serve God if that has become our choice. And we want to note here that every Christian struggles with sin. But the writer here is addressing the practice of purposeful, voluntary sin. It is our choice to do it or not to do it. And the discussion in these verses are about the practice of sin, not the struggle with sin. You know, there's a huge difference between voluntary practicing sin and struggling with sin. We know that we all struggle with sin. We have that sin nature, and it's something and if we are progressing, growing, and maturing in the Lord, desiring Him to be our leader, we are God's children, our brother. Verse 10 tells us that if we purposely live in sin, we are not the children of God. But then the writer adds, another are they who do not love their brother. And in verse 12, we read of Cain killing his brother. Why was Cain bitter? Why did he despise his brother? Why did he kill him? Verse 12 tells us it was because his own works were evil. And if we go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, where we find God asking Cain, why are you wroth? Or why are you upset? Why are you mad? And then he asks him another question. And he asks, so why is your countenance that which you are able to be? Why is that not who you are? Why is it that who you are able to be, that which you are able to be? And then God asked him, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? So who is the issue? Who is at fault? You know, not once does God give evidence. You know, we people like to give reasons or excuses, but that's not what God asked Cain. He said to him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And that's the last question that God asked Cain. And after those questions, then God makes a statement. And he says, and if you will not do well, sin lies at the door. And if we paraphrase this last statement, God is saying to Cain, sin or Satan wants to intervene, but we have to. You know, when we read the book of Jonah, we find there that Jonah desperately does not want to go to Nineveh. And I'm kind of using this example here, believing that we all know the story of Jonah. If you don't, please go home and read it. It's only a very short book. It's less than 50 verses, and it doesn't take very long to read. Enemies of Israel. And Jonah would rather have Nineveh being destroyed than being helped. But as we read the story, we find that God does not give up on Jonah, nor does God give up on us, his people. And God gets Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah brings Nineveh God's message. Or when Jonah brings Nineveh God's message, Nineveh repents. God spares Nineveh, and we read that Jonah is upset. Then in the last verse of Jonah, chapter 4, verse 11, we read where God asked Jonah this question. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? And I assume that these people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand are children. And also much cattle. And I believe if we shorten the version of that question, it could read, should God not have compassion on the children? You know, as much as we would have maybe liked to hear Jonah's response, that is not the issue. The issue is, how would we respond to that question? Do we agree with God that people without Christ are lost? And like God, do we have compassion for those who are lost? And then the question that underwrites where our heart is at, we could ask, how are we showing that compassion? And as we pray that the gospel will reach all people, how are we helping? How much or how willing are we to sacrifice of ourselves that God's plan for the world might be accomplished? You know, God was willing to spare Nineveh, but for that to happen, God would also have to give his son so that that redemption could be there, so that salvation could be present. And so now we want to go over to the crucifixion story of Jesus, and I'll be reading it from Matthew this morning. And as we do so, let's remember, not because of himself, but because of us, so that each of us, each of God's creation, would be able to have salvation. And as we read the story, we will be able to tell that there was nothing on our part that contributed to the redemption story or that redeeming act that God gave to the world. Matthew 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto him, why trouble ye the woman? for she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at the house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know, when we think of how Peter claimed he would not deny, but we also read here that likewise also said all the disciples. You know, as people, in many cases, we are not so much better than anyone else. You know, we all have that sin nature that wants to satisfy self. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me, or no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. All that had been prophesied needed to happen exactly as it had been said. Because we know that if there would have been any flaw, you know, the world would use it to distort the gospel of Christ. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God? Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out. In the sin that we commit, Peter, he denied Jesus. Judas, he betrayed Jesus. Peter wept bitterly. Judas just kept on going. He didn't turn to Jesus. He tried going to the high priest to settle it on his own. That's a difference. Sin must be confessed, must be taken to the cross. Chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away. And when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. You know, when we go to Jesus, we have somebody that cares. When we go to another source that is not Jesus, what do they care? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he parted and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So now we want to, and the question is, who is eligible? All that believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and are baptized upon that confession of faith. We also read in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, a verse that we read before. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Also 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And so now we want to take the opportunity to pray and thank God for the grace that has made possible our salvation. And so for those that are able to kneel, let us all pray together. So let us kneel for those who are able to kneel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we think about your body, how you gave it, how it had to suffer pain for our sin, yes, my sin, all our sin. And then you still love us. You still want to have fellowship with us and take us to be your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can become the righteousness of God through you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 258, Who at My Door Is Standing?
Number 400 at Calvary. Number 400. Liberty at Calvary.
333.
Reading 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So as we partake, we want to partake of the bread now. But as we partake, let's not forget the suffering that Jesus led for us. You know, he needed to take all the sins of the world upon himself, upon his body. And so with that, let's partake of the bread. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't ask if we had maybe bypassed someone. Good. Let's pray. Lord God, as we see the great debt of our sin, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this love that we are not able to match. We couldn't do it by ourselves. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did not allow anything to come between you and the cup that your Father asked you to drink. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making possible salvation to all that will accept you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we'll be serving the wine. There's also juice in those same trays. And we ask that after you've taken from, or you've had your drink, that you put the cups in the little holders that are in your benches there.
Number 144, only trust him.
Turn to number 310, the solid rock. Number 310.
Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare.
330, there's power in the blood. 330.
Number 64, Springs of Living Water. Number 64.
Reading 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." I just want to ask, did we bypass anyone? let's take the cup and drink. I'd like to close with Isaiah 48, verse 17 and also verse 22. Verse 17 reads, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." So this is who God is. This is who God has always been. May we always remember that in whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in, God is doing it at the latter end to bring us to where we all want to be. And then verse 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." So what is the most, we might say, the most wicked thing that we're able to do? And it's to turn away from God, to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, because by it, we reject his eternal, unconditional love. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time for the sacrifice that you made on behalf of all the whole of the whole world. Lord God, as we think about the love that spurred you to go to the cross, give your son, it humbles us. And yet, but at the same time though, because we were not able to do it of ourselves, we thank you that you took our place and that you gave us a gift, by a gift that is such that none of us would have ever been able to think it through so that it might work. Let us not forget this remarkable show of love that you have prepared for all people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So with that, let's close with a song.
Can we turn to number 268, "Revive Us Again"? Number 268. For those who are able, let's stand.
So with that, I have nothing more to bring to you this morning, except to say thank you for coming. You know, just imagine, you know, all of us working together for the kingdom of God. You know, the things that we would be able to accomplish. So with that, let's bow. And another thing, next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday for the communion or the story of God that we were able to celebrate today. So that's next Sunday. Asking you to be present. So let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thank you. You're now dismissed.